be that he will cause me to be fruitful and increase me, and you will make me into a lekahal amin. So Rashi pointed out, it's not exactly what it says. Back in Parashas Vayetzeh, it says goy ukehal goyim. And Rashi explained goy referred to the birth of Binyamin, and goy ukehal goyim, an assembly of goyim, is what here it means lekahal amin, which is problematic, because the word that was used back in Parashas Vayetzeh was not the word amim, but was the word goy, lekahal goyim. And here we are exchanging the word goyim for the word amim. Rashi doesn't explain why the change in word, but he says it's the same thing. And here, I will make you lekahal amim. And now I look back and I notice I only had one more child, Binyamin. And that was the fulfillment of the blessing of goy. But the blessing kahal goyim never happened. So what then does it mean? It must then mean that Hashem wants me to take one of my tribes, one of my children, and divide them into two. By doing so, that's an incredible blessing, because that in essence means that child is going to get double. And I have the choice. It's my prerogative. It's my choice which one of my 12 children will get that blessing of being called the kahal goyim, the kahal goyim, which here is the kahal amim. And Hashem went on to say, "Nasati asaris azos lazarcha acharecha." Hashem will give this land to your seed acharecha, achuzas olam, a possession forever. So I'll read the Rashi very quickly. Good news yesterday. Hashem said to me, "I will make you into an assembly of nations." And the Rashi Bisrani, Hashem promised me. He made a Bisrani an announcement. Shasidim. That Lot says, "Mimeni oid kahal v'amim, a kahal and amim." The Ava Pishamali Li Hashem said to me, the word over here is not, this is not the term. The term is not kahal goyim. Hashem said to me, "Goy ukehal goyim." So kahal goyim is the equivalent in this pasuk of what it says in Vayetze, kahal goyim. We are exchanging the word amim for the word goyim, the word goyim for the word amim. Goy, the first word was amali al binyamin. It's goy ukahal goyim. So goy was al binyamin. Kahal goyim, what does that mean? Harei shnayim. Levad mi binyamin. V'shuv lo yinu ben. I never had another child. Lamanu must mean she'asira echa mishvatai licholeik. It's going to happen. One of my children is going to divide v'yato. And now, oysa matana ani noisen l'cha. You, Yosef, you are getting that blessing. That's very interesting. He didn't give the blessing to Binyamin. Well, I guess Binyamin could not be. Is that really interesting? Is that what it means? Binyamin, let me ask you a general question. Was Binyamin a candidate to get the blessing of Kahal Goyim? So let's understand this. I think there's something very, very deep here. Yaakov Avinu has, in the home of Lavan, 11 children. Hashem says to him, "Yaakov, I want to give you a blessing. I want to give you the blessing of Goy and the blessing of Kehal Goyim." What was Goy? Goy turned into Binyamin. What is Kehal Goyim? Take one of your children and divide them into two. In other words, give them a double portion. So my question to you is, is Yaakov permitted to take the blessing of Kehal Goyim and divide into two Binyamin? Is Binyamin?
Is he able to do that with Yosef now being alive? Or would he possibly have been able to do that with Yosef not being there? And has it been Binyamin only?
Well, at the point when this blessing was given, Yosef was at home with his father. Yosef was just born. It was the moment when Yosef was born that Hashem appeared to Yaakov and said to Yaakov, "I'm giving you." Yosef was just born, and now I want to give you two more blessings. One blessing called Goy, and one blessing called Kehal Goyim. Goy means you're going to have a Binyamin. Kehal Goyim means I'm giving you the option of taking one of your children and splitting them into two. My question to you is, does this option of splitting into two, which clearly could have been done to any one of the children, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisrael, Zebulun, does it also apply to Binyamin? Or do we say mutually exclusive? since Hashem said goy, ukehal goyim, there are two separate blessings. That means you could, I'm giving you a double, I'm giving you the option of dividing one shaven into two, but you can't do that to Binyamin. Because Binyamin is the other blessing. It's not logical that Hashem is saying, I'm giving you Binyamin, and now I'm giving you kehal goyim, and you can apply kehal goyim to any child you want, even the child of goy that I'm giving you right now. Maybe yes, maybe no. If you can argue both ways, if you were to argue no, that being that there were two separate statements made, goy kahal goyim, and you cannot apply kahal goyim to goy because that's these are mutually exclusive blessings, that makes Binyamin very different than all of the other children. How does it make him different? Because Binyamin, there's no rivalry. All of the Shvatim, according to what we're learning, Harashi is explaining, are rivals. Because they all know, deep down inside, that the father has a gift. The gift of a double portion. To take a tribe and to split it into two, which means they get a double portion of the land. They get a double, everything is going to be double for that tribe, because they're going to split into two. So everyone is a rival. When you walk in the street and you see your brother, you know, he's a competitor. He's my rival. I want the blessing, not him. The only one that is not a rival is Binyamin, if this idea is correct. And we know Binyamin was very special for many reasons. Binyamin was not involved in the Chiras Yosef. He was at home, he was a baby. Binyamin was the only one of the 12 Shvatim that was born in Eretz Yisrael. Binyamin is called the Yidid Hashem. The Kodesh HaKodoshim is built upon his portion of the land because of these two reasons. But I'm suggesting to you now that there's a third element in Binyamin that makes him very special. There is no rivalry. In this week's parasha, we learn about Ephraim and Menashe. Everyone gives the blessing, Yisimcha L'kim Kefarim L'chum Menashe. Why? So what's so special about Ephraim Menashe? Rabbi Mayevsky taught us today, it's because no rivalry. There is no rivalry between these two children. And that is the ultimate blessing, not to like Yaakov and Esav, not like all the brothers against Yosef. But now we learn something new, that Yaakov has an extra blessing to give. He can give it to anyone that he wants. And if we're going to say the blessings are mutually exclusive, there's a blessing of Binyamin, and then there's a blessing of giving a double portion that does not apply to Binyamin. So Binyamin is not part of the equation. It's not part of the equation. There's no rivalry. That takes away from him pressure. That makes him a better person when there's no personal gain. There's no conflict. I remember, you know, it brings back a memory going back 100 years. I remember when Bush W. selected Cheney. What was his first name? Cheney's first, I forgot his first name already. My mind is gone. Dick Cheney, right? His name was Dick. Dick Cheney as his running mate. And I remember clearly them saying on the news, and all the commentators, why it's a very good pick, why it's good. Because Dick Cheney, at least at that time, and probably, I can't imagine, it doesn't seem like he ever did, has absolutely no desire to be the president. All of the vice presidents throughout American history in our lives are using their position as vice president as a stepping stone to become one day the president. Even they talk about Pence now. What's he going to do, Pence, on January 6th? You know, he's going to do the wrong thing. He's going to hurt his chance of one day becoming, being able to run for president. You know, they always talk about this. Everyone has an agenda. Every position is always what comes next. And I remember them, this is sticks out of my mind. Dick Cheney, he wasn't well. He had a heart condition. And he had other issues. There wasn't a havamina that he would ever be the president, and therefore he would be happy in his role, and he would do his job without any ulterior motives. And that was a tremendous smiler. That's a tremendous asset to the president, to have a person that's not trying to look over his shoulder to see what he should do to advance his own agenda. Binyamin, Lahavdil Elif Alfi Havdolos, according to what I'm trying to suggest to you, is in that position. He has no agenda. All the other tribes, they're all waiting. What's going to be? When Yaakov Avinu dies, he's going, before he dies, he's going to give a blessing to give one of his children the blessing of Kahal Goyim. And in fact, when it says here in the pasuk that when the Maggid revealed to Yosef that the father is sick, Yosef went running. He came running to get the blessing. Why did he come running so quickly? Obviously, there is something more going on. Rashi is telling us what's going on over here. Okay, let's take a look over at the Targum. The Targum over here on this pasuk is Vamar Li and Amar Li. Avamar Li Ho Ano Ma Peishloch. And Hashem said to me, Ho Ano I. Ho Ano. Ano here is the capital Aleph. Ano means Hashem. Okay, Ho Ano, it is I. That's very interesting. Hinni. Hinni is Hashem, and the word Hinni is being broken into two words. Mapesh Lach are going to cause you to increase. Mafricha, we ordinarily translate as fruitful. Miloshen Peri. The word mapesh doesn't mean a fruit. It means increase. It's an interesting word. We have to see. Hopefully we'll have it over here perish. Lach, umaski lach. The word maski is to make numerous. Sege means great. The here bisicha. That's also a very curious translation, because what does the word mean here bisicha? Does that mean to make you great in number, quantity, or in quality? The word umaske typically means in quality, not in quantity. Here bisicha would ordinarily in our vocabulary be more associated with quantity. Let's see. The et ninoch, I will make you, I will make, etain, I will make you, lichinshos shivtim, a kineses, kineses Yisrael, lichinshos, I don't really know what that word means. That means a kahal, an assembly, like a kinesia. It's not the right word, kinesia the samach, now with a saf. Okay, let's see, shifting of tribes. The 10 years I will give you Aro Hadad, this land of Nach, to your children, Bosroch, Achsonas, an inheritance. Okay, Achsonas is Achuzas, he translates inheritance, Olam, forever. Let's see the parish. The parish, he first focuses on the Maske Lach, before the Hirbisicha, Targum Hirbisicha, Shuloshin Osid. Okay, this he goes and this is obsessed with this. I don't want to do this type of stuff. This is not what I want to spend time on. Okay, he likes to go into the tense, the past, because the Targum is always changing the tense, always. And he always likes to dwell upon that. Let's go further. Yesh lohoir, now he goes further. Yesh lohoir. Shala'el tirgim, v'yafricha v'yarbecha. He says, v'yap shinoch, v'yap, same word, v'yaske noch, b'li lohoisef hamid loch. All right, he's putting out over here the missing word. I don't know what that means. He's putting on the small details here. Lich nosh shivtin. What is it means? Kehal amin. Lekehalois shivatim tegum lekehal b'loshin rabim. Again, plural singular. He's into this tense stuff. Yaf shetegum amim hu amimin. Okay, shakavana shivatim shekolecha vecha kori am. All right, let's go over here. Uvahorios. Lamdu mikad shashvatim nikru kahal. In this a halachic, he's quoting over here a piece of halacha when it comes to, let's say, bringing the par helim davar shel tzibur. The Torah says that if the pasuk seems to indicate that if the majority of the Jewish people do an avera by accident because the bezdin made an error in their piskei halacha, they must bring what's called the par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. So the question is, does this mean the entire Klal Yisrael, or does it even include if one Shevet, the majority of one single Shevet, did an Avera, which ordinarily there would be a Chiyuv Karis for? So from this pasuk we learned that you don't need the entire Klal Yisrael to do the Avera, even one Shevet, because here it says Kahal Amin, a Kahal of nations, and in the context of this discussion, we're referring over here to Shevatim, tribes. Okay, that was the blessing that one of the tribes, I'm going to split into two tribes. So we see the word Kahal means a Shevet. And we can take this word, which we can substitute here as a Shevet, and apply it to this other Sugyos, other times in the Torah where it says the word Kahal, and derive that it does not mean the entire Klal Yisrael. It means even one Shevet, one of the 12 tribes. Okay, next pasuk. Now we go to pasuk. So we finish over here. Everything over here. Yeah. Now we go to pasuk. Pasuk Hevyatah. Now, Shnei Vanecha. I'm giving you the blessing. Shnei Vanecha, your two children, Hanolim Lecha, that were born to you, be Eretz Mitzrayim. Ad before Boyelech, before I came to you, Mitzrayim, until Ad Boi Elecha Mitzrayim. Isn't this repetitious? What it says, they were born in the land of Mitzrayim. Ad Boi Elecha Mitzrayim. Let the pasuk Hanolim Lecha be Eretz Mitzrayim. Ad Boi Elecha. Period. I don't need the pasuk to repeat the word Mitzrayim. Obviously, there's a message here in the repetition. There's something called the Eretz Mitzrayim, and there's something called Mitzrayim. Two different concepts. The land of Egypt, before I came to you, Mitzrayim. That's a different concept. We have to see what that means. Lihem, they are mine. They are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh, Kuvim and Shimon, Yuli. Ephraim and Manasseh are just like Reuven and Shimon. They are, again, repetition. Yihu in the future. First it says Lihem, and then it says Yihu Yuli. Now, I'll tell you some interesting story. I know that Rav Soloveitchik, who's over here, I just spoke with him. He's moving to Muncie. I don't know what's going to be here anymore. He's going to become very depressed over here in this shul. He's moving to Muncie next week. He's not going to come around that much here anymore. It's very, very depressing. So you just sit and listen to him. He has incredible things. He has incredible chachma. And also knows a lot of history. And he talks about the Kalbach, Shlomo Kalbach. Shlomo Kalbach, the famous Shlomo Kalbach. So he, when he was a little boy, him and his brother, they went to visit the Riatz. The Riatz was the father-in-law of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He was the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he was very impressed with the two Kalbach boys. Shlomo Kalbach, the famous singer, and his brother. And then later, and basically he wanted them. He wanted them to join Chabad, which he pretty much did. Shlomo Kalbach became a very complicated story. But at one point in time, someone came to the Riatz and complained that he stole them. They don't belong in Lubavitch. So he said these words: "From the moment I laid my eyes on them, they're mine." Lihem. These two boys are mine. When I saw them as little boys, I saw their potential. Don't tell me to give them back to you. These boys are mine. Okay, there's a lot going on behind that story. A lot more information, but that's a true story. Any event, this is a very interesting expression. Lihem and Yihiyu Li. We have repetition. Boilach is Eretz Mitzrayim. Then they're Lihem. And then we have Nochamol, Ephraim and Asher, Kriv Hashem Yuli, they'll be like Reuven and Shimon. What does all this mean? Let's see the Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk, Hey. Ha'anodim l'chavir, ad bo'yelecha, l'fnei bo'yelecha, which means before. Ad. The word ad here means before. Before I came to you. Kiloimar. Okay, whenever Rashi says our rule of thumb, whenever Rashi says the word Kiloimar, this is a warning sign. It's like, this is a nuclear facility. Don't go near, don't enter. Watch out. I'm going to tell you chidushim that are not obvious. Shenoldu, that were born, mi shepo rashta mimeni. Ad shebosi etzlecha, from the time that you separated. Mi shepo rashta, you were poirish. You, Yosef. You separated yourself from me. What does that mean? What does that mean? Why is Rashi saying this? Mi sheporashta mimeni, ad shebosi until I came to you. In this Rashi, I believe, is hidden some explosive ideas. One of the age-old questions about the story of Mechiras Yosef is, why didn't Yosef phone home? Ever see the movie E.T. Phone Home? E.T. that was like the line of the movie E.T. Phone Home. Yosef knew the first 2 years. You'll tell me he was in a dungeon, the basement. There's no signal. There's no cell phones don't work in basements. They don't work too well in the basements. Okay? So for 2 years he was in the dungeon, there was no cell phone signal. But then he became the viceroy of Egypt. He had a whole cell phone tower just for himself. So why couldn't he make a phone call, send a text, a WhatsApp, something to Yaakov Avinu, you know, I'm alive, why? So there's so many answers, you'll go get dizzy, all this analysis, it's like mamish, but there is one approach, and that is, he deliberately decided, I want nothing to do with anyone. He made a decision, I'm out. I'm not part of this anymore. I don't want to know from my brothers, and I don't want to know of my father. I want to be, this happened, it wasn't just, he didn't. It wasn't passive. It was considered an active statement. I am now deciding independently, I don't want to have anything to do with my past. And Rashi really says that here. Rashi says something explosive. Rashi introduced this explosive statement with the words kiloimar. Kiloimar. I'm going to tell you something over here that is not obvious. Kiloimar. So this thing is making noise. This thing is making noise. 1 second, please. I apologize here. Apologize for 1 second. I don't want this to disturb me. Okay. Kloima. Kishinoilat. Yaakov Avinu now is giving Musar to his child, Yosef. And he's saying, these two children were born to you when you were in a matzav, in a state where you made a decision that you want to have nothing to do with me. Shenoldu, they were born to you from the moment, not that you physically, you disappeared. Mishe parashta. What do you mean, Mishe parashta? I'm not the one who separated. My brother sold me as a slave. Don't put the blame on me. No. You could have called home. You made a decision. You want nothing to do with us. Mi she parashta mimeni. Ad until, and it would have been like that forever. And the only reason why we reunited, ad shebasi etzlecha, because I went and I wanted to see you. And I'm the one who brought about this whole sequence of events. And that automatically changes everything. When you look at the brachos, then it's more of a shock. Why then should Yaakov Avinu give the blessing that Yosef's two sons, Ephraim and Menashe, they should get the double blessing when Ephraim and Menashe were born, when Yosef was in the frame of mind, he fathered them, when he was in the frame of mind, that he doesn't want to have anything to do with his past. He doesn't want anything to do with Yaakov. He could have called home. He chose not to. He got married to Osnas, Bas Potifera. Well, you don't think he was entitled to send some wedding invitations out to go call his father? No. You were in a frame of mind that you want out. Now, what does that mean exactly? He was a Yarish Shamayim. There's nothing to talk about. He was a tzaddik. Yosef at tzaddik. There's no question. Yosef at tzaddik, Lashna Kodesh, Brismila. He's awesome. But yet, his relationship to where he came from is very mysterious. And this Rashi is saying a mouthful. They even put the Nikudos in this Rashi over here, that you should not make any mistake in understanding the emphasis of these words. Okay, now, Lihem, what is in their mind? B'cheshbon shar bonayim, Ephraim and Menashe, they're part of the Shvatim. Little chelik baritz ish kenegdoi, each man to himself. They get basically double. You're Yosef and your children, you're going to get basically two portions. Each person gets their own chelik in the land. That's pretty serious stuff. Let's see the Targum. Targum Pasuk Hei says, Ucha'an means now. Okay, ata. Ata is always in the Targum. The Targum has a limited vocabulary. The word ata is the same exact thing as the word na. Every time it says the word na, he always says the same exact word cha'an. Trei benach, your two children, the is yelidu loch, they were born to you by Ara de Mitzrayim, the land of Egypt, ad me sa levosach le Mitzrayim. It doesn't explain the repetition. Before I came to you to Mitzrayim, dilinon, they're mine. Ephraim and Menashe are just like Kiruvein v'Shimon Yehoin, future tense, Kodomoi. They will be before me. So Ephraim and Menashe, they're like two tribes, just like Reuven and Shimon are completely independent. They're two separate tribes. Each one gets a portion of the land. So too is Ephraim and Menashe. Why did he select Reuven and Shimon over selecting Shimon and Levi, over selecting Yisachar Zvulun? I don't know. You'll say they were the first. Actually, see, it's not a good idea. The reason why it's problematic comparing them to Ephraim and Menashe is because to Reuven and Shimon is because Reuven is a Bechor. Reuven gets Pishnayim. So you're going to say that Ephraim and Menashe, like Reuven and Shimon, is like saying that Ephraim is also going to get Pishnayim and Menashe will get one portion because they're like Reuven and Shimon. So let's match up Reuven, Shimon to Ephraim and Menashe. Ephraim is Reuven, he gets double, and Menashe is like Shimon, he gets a single portion. No one says that. Everyone agrees that Reuven gets double. You can't deny the fact. Reuven b'choriata. That's this week's parasha. So this is also very difficult. By comparing Ephraim and Menashe to Reuven and Shimon, in essence he's saying that Ephraim is a b'chor. Being a b'chor has many ramifications in halacha. Well, you have to give the coin 5 slaim, you get pishnayim. There's a certain degree of kavod the Bukhar gets. There are halachs and shulchan aruch that are unique to a Bukhar. Has to fast erev Pesach. Does Ephraim have to fast erev Pesach? Ephraim is not the Bukhar. Menashe was the older brother. Who has to fast erev Pesach? Tainis Bukharim. Who's the Bukhar? Is Menashe the Bukhar? He was the firstborn. Or does Ephraim have to fast? Because the Pasuk says that Ephraim and Menashe are like Reuven and Shimon. And we have the right to assume that Ephraim is going to be matched to Reuven, which means Ephraim has to fast. Is that so? What's going on over here? I know there's a famous gematria. The gematria is that Ephraim and Menashe is the same gematria as Reuven and Shimon, minus one. So, okay, well that's like the chicken and the egg. That came second. That didn't come first. First, you have to know the pshat. Then you can figure out all these gematrias. So this is something that's very, very... We're learning over here many more questions than we have answers. Let's see over here the perish. Ucha'an. V'ata yesh lefar shash kavad ulefi zeh. According to this, kolam ha'kevon shachos baruch hu v'tiach li yiyah mimeko v'lenol li achakach ela binyam yuchach en kein Ephraim v'mnashe yuli. Okay, fine. That's saying, okay. The is yilidu. Hanayladim hu loshen avar, he goes into the grammar. Forget it. Mesa dili, dili means li. Loshen akasiv kumay asher li their mine. Tirgame diloch. Fine. Yehi yehoin ko domain in the future tense. Yu lefonai ulai. Daita lefarish ke targum yoinasam benuzil. Yehoin mischashvin li. Venirish tirgame came bimnesha kvar tirgame lihim. He's not telling us exactly what this means. Alright, so I don't know. He's not really, unfortunately, we're not getting much over here. We're not getting our money's worth today. Let's go further. Let's go to Pasuk Vav. Umoy lad ticha. Asher hoy ladata acharehem l'cha yiyu. Question. Big question to ask all of you. How many children did Yosef have? We only have on record he had two children, Ephraim and Menashe. I don't believe it's mentioned anywhere that he had any more than two children. But it can't be. It's an impossibility that he did have more children. How do you know this? Because if Yaakov Avinu says to him, and your future offspring, Umoy lad ticha, Asher hoyladeta acharehem, if the children that you will father after them, l'chayihiyu. They're not getting a double portion. They're not going to be called Shavatim. They're just going to be part of you. They're going to be part of Yosef. Al Shem Achim, they'll be called Al Shem Achim Yikor ben Achalasa. They'll be called after their brothers. They'll be absorbed into either Ephraim or Menashe. Let them pick. Let them pick which side they want. Let them pick. Like, you know, you go to a wedding, you meet someone at a wedding, you say to them, at the wedding, you say to them, oh, very nice to see you. How did you get it? From which side? Which side are you on? Which side are you from? Are you from the Tzadachos, Tzadachal? Which side are you from? So the person says back, oh, I didn't know. There's already a machloikas? They're already fighting? There's already a dispute. You're asking me which side I'm taking? Am I taking the side of the Chosin Bakala? So here it says, there's Ephraim and Menashe. Anyone that's going to be born afterwards will be either part of the Ephraim and Menashe. Now, problem is, what are you talking about? We have no record anywhere. Go search Divrei Hayam from top to bottom. Shake it upside down. Take it off the shelf and shake it. You're not going to find there in Divrei Hayam or any record that Yosef had any more children. So what is he talking about? So you'll say, so Yitaka didn't. He said, if you'll decide to have more children, if, no. So then you should know this is the way it's going to be. But it didn't happen. He wasn't interested. Yosef didn't have more children, whatever it was. He didn't have more children. Could that really be? You know why I tell you it can't be? Because there are so many Rebbe Shemaiselach. Not even Rebbe Shemaiselach. They're Maiselach with the Chavetz Chaim, with the Gra. There are all these stories where there's a famous story with the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, he was a Zakein, and he was a Shalosh Sudas, I don't know, whatever the story was, and he needed water to wash his hands. He wanted just a small amount of water for Negel, for Mayim Acharinim, I don't know. And there was a little boy there, and he went to get him water. And he brought the Vilna Gaon the water. So the Vilna Gaon was very like, oh wow, this kid got me water. And he said to him, thank you. Of course, I don't know what language, whatever he said. He said klachayad. And that person, that little child, ended up living to like this crazy ripe old age of I don't know, 200 years old. And he always said that he attributed his Arich HaSyam, his longevity, because the Vilna Gaon said to him as a child, he brought him some water, Shav Arich HaSyam. And there were a lot of stories of the Chavetz Chaim like this. Where the Chavetz Chaim just Kalachayat, he said something, and like let's say like Arich HaSyam, and the people, they live like this crazy amount of years, and they always said it's the Brach of the Chavetz Chaim. So the Chavetz Chaim and the Vilna Gaon, if they can just Kalachayat say, what comes out of the Peh of a Tzaddik is in the sky. Are you going to tell me that Yaakov Avinu, he says to Yosef, Yosef, I'm giving you a blessing. Ephraim and Menashe, they are going to be like Reuven and Shimon. But the children that you're going to have later, now, in the future, they're not going to be Ephraim and Menashe, but they'll be absorbed. If these words came out of the Peh Kodosh of Yaakov Avinu, there is no way in the world they were not fulfilled. They may have been said Kalachia. There's no way. Can't be. So where then are these children? I don't know. We don't find them anywhere, unless I'm not aware, maybe I'm making a mistake, but it has to be like that. Yaakov Avinu can't be any less than the Vilna Gaon and the Chavetz Chaim. And there are a lot of stories about these particular two people, the Vilna Gaon and the Chavetz Chaim, just like that. They said something, Kalach Hayad, and like, whatever they said, they ever came out of their mouth, it happened. Cannot be. Pasuk in the Torah? It's in the Torah, HaKadosh, cannot possibly be. Okay, let's go further. Let's see what it says in Rashi, Pasuk Vav. Rashi, Umoylad Ticha, Im Toilid Oit. He says to Yosef, if you will have more children. I told you, what does Rashi here mean? Rashi says, If he said it, it's going to happen. What do you mean, im toilet? Adar pshat. I don't know. There's something going on here. Im toilet, because we don't find that he had more children. Lo yiyu b'minyin bonai, ela b'sech shifte yafa b'manasha yunichlolim. They're going to have to go and take sides. You're going to have to make a decision. Life is complicated. You have to decide, who do you want to be part of? You want to be part of the team of Ephraim or the team of Menashe? Decide. They will be, but they're not going to be independents. Ella b'sech shifte yafa b'manasha yunichlolim v'lo yelochem shem b'shvatim l'in anachla. What difference does it make? He's asking a general question. What difference does it make b'chlal in general about dividing Yosef into two tribes? What difference does it make that we divide them anyway? Each tribe was given an amount of land that was proportional to the people in the family, people that needed the amount of land. So if you have two very small shvatim, they get two very small pieces of land. Two big shvatim, they get lost. So what's the what do you gain by dividing? So he explains that there is a difference. It's a very important Rashi. Rashi saying over here is that the only real difference of this split, of this blessing that Yaakov is bestowing upon Yosef by splitting his children, him, into two tribes, there is no financial gain in doing so. Because the amount of land they're going to take is not going to change. Because the land was given, divided, it was a very complex division into 13 parts. Not really 12, but Levi did not get. Shimon also didn't really get. Shimon didn't get, for some reason, Shimon did not get any land. Shimon got only cities inside of Yehuda. So the truth is, it was really divided into we have 12 tribes, and then we have Ephraim and Manasseh, 13. Minus 2, 11. Okay, that's very interesting. The land was really divided into 11 portions. Because Levi did not get, and Shimon also didn't get. Shimon basically took cities within the portion of Yehuda for some reason. And everyone else got equal. So just because you're an independent shevet doesn't mean you're getting more land. So what then is the blessing? Kavod. That's the whole blessing. The whole blessing is nothing more than honor. Kavod.
I thought Yosef came and complained to Yoshua that they were so populated they didn't have enough land. He told them to go.
That was later. That was at a later point in time because they have the bracha of Mafrecha v'her b'sicha. That was a later point in time. But when the chalukah took place, immediately at that moment in time, everyone got what they needed. They may have many more children, so they became very numerous very quickly. But Rashi here says, I hear you saying, I don't know the details, but let's work with what we have in front of us. And Rashi says that Rabbi Shemachal Kaharis Lamia Gugulos, according to their skulls, their heads. So what difference does it make? The answer is, you're right, it didn't make any. There was no financial gain in being called Tushvat, and the only gain was kavod. You have your own flag, you have your own shame. There is when you do the roll call in Klal Yisrael, there is an independent entity. That's all it's about. Now let's see over the Targum. Targum says over here, Pasik, Vav. Uvenin, he's calling Umoilad Techad, means your children. The Soleil that will be born, Basrihain, after you. Dilachyain, they're yours. Al Shoim, that's the name. Achehon, their brethren. Yiskiroin will be called. The Achsonashoin, in their inheritance. Now, if I want to, just before we leave the parish, I want to continue the thought that I said to you before. that Yosef of Yosef, Yaakov Avinu, was giving him Musar. He said to him, my son Yosef, 22 years, why didn't you call me? Why didn't you phone home? The answer is, because you made a conscious decision that you want no part in me. That was Rashi. From the day that you separated yourself, and when you separated yourself, the children that were born in a mindset of fathering children that have nothing to do with my past. And I'll even prove you that this Rashi that it says Mishe Parashta is true. Alderch Pshat. What did he name his children? Menashe. And the part of why Menashe, where does that name come from? Ki Noshani Elokim es Beis Ovi. I forgot all about my family. Hashem has allowed me to completely forget about them. Good riddance. Ki Nashani Elokim es Beis Ovi. Isn't that shocking? It's so shocking. Many of the commentators who don't learn like what I told you over here, this whole drasha, they bend backwards and do the most sophisticated gymnastics to explain what that, why he called him Menashe, and it should not be an insult to Yaakov Avinu. But if you take the words on a very simple level, and you take this Rashi that says, Mishe Parashto, you made a conscious decision to disengage, and he named his child Menashe. Oh, you see that? I forgot about my dad. Ephraim, ki Ephrani Elokim, I'm successful, be'eretz oni. I'm successful. I made it in America. I rose to prominence. I don't need where I came from. Now, let's go further. Yaakov Avinu says, you know, you thought you could run away from me? You can run, but you can't hide. I'm not letting go of you so quickly. I've come to you, and I'm taking your two children. I'm acquiring them, Lehem. I'm making them Ephraim and Menashe, part of the Shvatim. But Yosef, I want to tell you something. You did something very that I didn't like. Mishe Parashto. So you know what? All of your future children, indeed, will have nothing to do with me. That's right. If that's what you want, that's what you'll get. Bederech she'odom reitze leilech sham melichen oiso. You were Mishe Parashto. Okay, gesund to hate. And now that answers the question that I started with. How come we don't find anywhere any mention of the other children that were born to Yosef? Where are they?
They weren't important.
Where are they? Are they part of Klal Yisrael? What?
They're not important.
The pasuk to go in Divrei Hayamim with Miyaches, everyone else's children were important.
The Ramban brings down Pshat Pasuk Tez Vav. He has a discussion, Shaka Mataria, did he have children or not? Were they born after Yaakov died? Were they born while Yaakov was still alive? But it comes out, he himself accepts the Ramban, that he did have other children. So why are they not mentioned?
Yeah.
And why not? He said, because Laila Tzarech.
Okay.
He says, Laila Tzarech, the Pari did not...
Okay.
Any value.
The Rabban is learning Pshat. I'm saying Dush.
I'm saying Dush.
The Rabban is the Mesorah. The Rabban is not just a Rishon. The Rabban is the Mesorah. You know, there are different Rishonim. It's a very interesting concept that Rabbi Shmuel, he told me all this. There are different levels of Rishonim. There are Rishonim that are Kedoshim, and there are Rishonim that are part of the Shalshelis of the Mesorah. Rabban is the Mesorah. It's extremely, whatever Rabban says is Kodesh Kodoshim, beyond belief. I wanted to say a Jewish idea, and that is, the reason why they're not mentioned is because they're almost like not even, I don't know to what degree. Yosef, you made a decision. Mishe Parashto Mimeni. You name your children Ephraim, Menashe, Kinashani Elokim. I forgot about my father. You named Ephraim, I'm successful in this new land. You made a statement that you want to have nothing to do with me. Well, guess what, Yosef? You can't do that. Because I'm your father, and there's a lot more in life, there's a much bigger equation than what you want. So therefore, I'm taking possession of these two children against your will, even though Mishe Parashta. But because you did make a decision of Mishe Parashta, so you know what? All of the other children that will be born to you afterwards, that's right, you will have to suffer the consequences of your actions. If you went and you were Mishe Parashta, so that Mishe Parashta will be chal to the children that will be born to you later on, because that's what you wanted. This whole pasuk is so bizarre. He has to go tell him. He has to go say to him. He has to say to him, there wouldn't be a pasuk like this. It would be necessary. Of course, the only one that gets the name of a shevet is Ephraim and Menashe. So by we can deduce, we can imply that anyone else is not. So what's all this about? What's Pasuk Vav all about? Pasuk Vav is telling something even worse. All of my other children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, they're part of me. But you, Yosef, you did something very cruel. You separated yourself from me. You can't do that. You can't do that. I'm your father. There's a bigger picture over here. Ephraim and Menashe, I'm reacquiring them. But you will have to still suffer the consequence of your actions of Mishe Parashta. And that's what this is saying. This thing is a punishment. They are less. They're out. Because Mishe Parashta. Now, I know what I'm saying is very nasty. I don't mean to be nasty. There's a lot more going on. But these are just, I'm just following what it says. I'm reading over here. You can't ignore the question. It's a massive question. You can't ignore what it's Mishe Parashta. And you can't ignore what it says. Menashe and Ephraim, why they were called names. And now when you have this pasuk, it's like saying, yeah, this is what you want, that's what you'll get. And that's why there's no mention of them ever again. All right, we're out of time. Thank you very much for joining me. Have a wonderful evening. All the best to you. Tomorrow mitzvah, we do tomorrow night sidur. Tomorrow night is our sidur share. Okay, zay gezunt.
Thank you, brother. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Heshi Glatter and Mrs. Glatter, Mr. Rappu Yeshkrech, Heshi Ogemam Yeshkrech for coming. Norman Forrest.
Thanks so much for giving a beautiful share. Very nice.
My pleasure. Thank you for coming. Thank you for joining us. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Mr. Forrest, welcome. Welcome. What's doing out there in Montreal? How's the weather? Nice and cold?
It's snowing here.
It's snowing? Yeah, it's snowing?
Yeah, but it's supposed to change to rain. In the meantime, it's mush.
Oh, yeah.